to 36, Jesus walks on the water. It's on page 981 of the Church Bible. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he'd dismissed them, he went on up a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, crying out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Craig.
Have there ever been times, can you remember, when you've been told to do something and you could tell by the tone of the adult's voice that was telling you that really you didn't have any choice in the matter? There was no room for discussion. Sometimes it's worth making a bit of a fuss, having a hissy fit, but no, it's not even worth arguing. You just knew it wasn't going to make any difference, that you were going to have to carry out that instruction. Anybody willing to volunteer what they can remember? Did mum or dad say to them? Or I understand mother-in-laws are good at this as well. No? We're a bit shy this morning. Oh, nearly. Well, this is the situation that happened when Jesus told the disciples to get into the boat and go to the other side of the lake where he was going to meet them. Because the literal translation is that he compelled them to go. They really didn't have any choice in the matter. But Jesus had very good reason, because he wanted to teach them something. What do you think he wanted to teach them? Do you think he was playing a trick on them? Do you think he was saying, "Ha ha, I got you there, you were really scared"? No. No. Do you think he was trying to show off to them or impress them? No, wasn't doing that either. But Jesus did want to teach them something very important. Absolutely. Well, let's have a look at that. Let's have a closer look at the story. Now, we haven't got any water to walk on this morning, so we're going to have to improvise a bit. Hannah, would you bring Mum and Dad up to the front here, please? And Audrey, would you bring Mum and Dad up to the front as well? Amy, you were so good. Could you bring Mum and Dad up to the front? And I need a couple of strong men as well. Nick, come and give us a hand. Come and stand over on this side here. That's great. And another... Robs. Would you give us a hand, please? Yeah. Give us a bit. You move over there just a second. Nick, grab the end of this. Right. Smashing. So, Nick, you come round this way. And if we pop it down here. If we hold that against Rob's, could you hold that up against from this side, could you hold it against the stairs so it doesn't tipple over? In fact, I want the kids to come down there, so would you mind popping on this side? Great. Nick, you kneel down with that between your legs so that it doesn't run in. Okay, so can we have our little ones in the boat? Up in the boat, please. And mum's at this end, please, and dad's at this end. Right, so who's going to walk on the water first? Amy, you're going to give us a go? So come down out of the boat, hold mum's hand as you get onto the water here. This is the water, this ladder. All right, are you on? Now you've got to let go of mum's hand. And you've got to walk. Dad, can you come to the other end? Yeah, right, Dad. Now, let go, Mum, and see how Amy, how far can you go? Not very far. Go on, try one step. Yes. No hands. Oh, no hands. We're getting there. Whoa, hands again. Right, let somebody else have a go then. That's tricky. Audrey, you come down. Mum, steadier at the start. Here we go. Audrey, no hands now. You're doing well, but it's a bit slow. It's slow work, isn't it? Off to Dad. Keep going. Not bad. Okay, well done, well done. You hold down. Hannah, hold Mum's hand to get onto the water. That's it. Now let go, Mum. How are you doing? That's it. Whoa, gotcha. But Josh, are you up for having a go? Go on, have a go. Yeah. Whoa. Right. Whoa. Now. Brilliant. Well done. Okay. Well done. Now, all back in the boat this time. All back in the boat. This time we're going to do it, and we're going to ask Keith to be Jesus. So, Keith, come and represent Jesus. And the same again. Who went first? Amy. Right. Down you get. Now this time, Keith, Jesus, you can offer a finger. One finger of support. Okay? So hang on to a finger. That's it. Now off you go. How much faster is it? How much easier is that? Hey? That is great. Well done, well done. Next one. Audrey, you're doing well. You're going much faster this time. Keep going. Dad's waiting at the end. Well done. Brilliant. Hannah, your turn. Well done. Keep going. Whoa. Just a little wobble there. That's the way. Well done. And last but not least, here we go. Come on, Josh. Oh, easy peasy. Thank you. Gents, could you tuck it back under there for us? Thank you very much, everybody. So what was Jesus trying to teach then? So three things. Firstly, that Jesus can do anything he wants. He has supernatural power to do whatever he wants. But not only is he showing his disciples that supernatural power, he's also showing them that he wants to share his power with them. Jesus still does that. He wants to share his power with us today as well. Secondly, just like Peter can't walk on the water without Jesus, just in the same way, there are all sorts of things that we're never going to be able to do if we don't have Jesus with us. So we must remember to ask Jesus to be with us and help us every day. And lastly, did you notice how little effort it took for Jesus to make all the difference? All Jesus had to do was offer the equivalent of a little finger. You see, for Jesus, doing these supernatural things, it's no big deal. It comes so naturally. But for us, it makes all the difference. So I understand in the Trinity room now, for the children, there are some craft work prepared and ready to be done if you want to go and make a start on that now. And we'll call you back in about 10 minutes or so. Do you want to go through? No? My talk's not that good. So, back to our reading. All we're going to concentrate on this morning is the first small sentence that Jesus speaks when he says, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Just that small bit, and we're going to break down those three little phrases. So first of all, take courage, or some of the translations say, take heart. These words of Jesus are an assurance for those who have good reason to fear. It's an indication also that there will be storms for us to face, but we don't face them alone because we have a God who says, take courage, take heart, because he's with us in the storms. And the Psalms are full of God's promises, aren't they, saying, I am with you in times of trouble. Now, if you're sat here this morning and life is just ticking along for you really nicely and you're storm-free at the moment, that's great. That's absolutely brilliant. But please don't switch off, because you are going to encounter storms somewhere along the line. And if you don't get to grips with these truths now at this stage, you'll struggle more when the storms hit. It's good to know that Jesus is saying it's not wrong to feel fearful. He knows. He made us. We have an emotional God. We're made in his image, aren't we? So our emotions are God-given. And fear is the emotion that we feel when we're faced with something stronger than we are. Now, when Peter stepped out of the boat and he took his first successful steps on the water, the power of the Lord Jesus was stronger to Peter than the wind and the waves. But when Peter took his eyes off Jesus, the winds and the waves became stronger to him than the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter's focus and attention went away from Christ, upon whom he was depending, to the problem against which he was fighting. So it's bringing and keeping our emotions before God that prevents them from controlling us and being overwhelmed by them. Jesus calms our fears like the waves of water with his peace that we know passes all human understanding. So what Jesus was teaching Peter was that the problem wasn't the impossibility of the situation or the strength of the wind and the waves, but rather, as Joan said, it's his lack of trust, lack of faith. So Jesus says, take heart, take courage, because we can know for sure that if we trust God and we truly know the presence of Jesus, it's then that fear can be dismissed. Take courage. Next, it is I. So let's look a little closer as to how Jesus is able to make such a claim, that in his presence we don't need to be afraid. Jesus says, it is I. So you and I don't have to be afraid. Apart from the obvious fact later in the story that Jesus, God's Son, has control over the weather, which we can't even forecast properly still, but we won't go there, Peter had recognized one really important fact. Peter recognized that the thing that threatened to be over his head was under the feet of Jesus. And the lesson for us lies in our understanding that anything that threatens to be over our head is, in fact, under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15:27, it really couldn't spell it out any clearer for us. It says, for he, that is God the Father, has put everything under his feet. That's Jesus' feet. He always has control. So when we feel fearful or worry that we've lost control of a situation, God has not. But we need to be in a place where we can hear that it is I. See, the enemy wants to turn up the volume on all that stops us hearing, including the sound of our own doubts, our own inadequacies, our own fears. It's the it is I are words of power and authority, because it's Jesus that utters them. So it's this criteria that brings God into our circumstances and gives him the freedom to act in our lives. And notice how Peter doesn't automatically step out of the boat and try and copy Jesus. He asks first, he waits for Jesus to say, come. And our moment of surrendering our situation, surrendering our fears to God, is the very moment that we invite him in, when we find ourselves saying, I can't, but God can. That's why Jesus says, it is I. Because it's only through him and his presence in our lives that we can overcome fear, if we trust and obey. It was meant to reassure Peter, wasn't it? Have a stabilizing effect on him. A sort of, phew, it's okay, it's Jesus, I don't need to worry. And if we can ever grasp the truth that Jesus is the great I am, that he has all the power in heaven and earth, then we too can know peace in the midst of the trials. When Jesus says, it is I, there is power present. And because he is present, then we don't need to be afraid. Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. So let's go back to Peter again. When we doubt, doubt literally means we're divided in two. Peter here is divided in two. There's a real tug of war going on for Peter. He walks on water to begin with because his focus on trusting Jesus outweighs the material things around him. Then he starts to sink because he's allowing the material facts, the wind and the waves, to weigh more heavily than the power of Jesus. Peter's attention went away from Christ, upon whom he was depending, to the problem against which he was fighting. So suddenly, the problem had become bigger than the God that Peter had knew and experienced. Peter was overwhelmed because he was looking at the problems and forgetting that with Jesus, all things are possible. So if we can ever get hold of the fact that Jesus is in control in every area of our lives, that he is God, that he possesses all power, then we can come to that place where we can trust him fully through all the storms of life. Peter gets a lot of bad press, doesn't he, for not managing to keep going with that walk on the water. But we have to hand it to him. He did actually get out of the boat, and he did manage a few successful steps. So what's the application for us then? Well, we too have an opportunity to walk with Jesus in places we wouldn't dream of going on our own. Like each of the disciples, we have to choose how we're going to respond to Jesus. Will we sit in the boat like the 11? Or will we, like Peter, leave the security of the boat and give God the opportunity to use us in extraordinary ways? So, what's your boat? What's your safe haven that holds you back from participating in the benefits of water walking? Let's remind ourselves, what are the benefits of water walking? Well, it's the only way to real spiritual growth. It's the only way for true faith and trust to develop. The alternative, water walking is the alternative to boredom and stagnation. And it's part of discovering and obeying God's calling to us. And lastly, the water is where Jesus is. It reminded me of that famous psychology book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. In Christ we can. In what ways might God be calling you to get out of your boat and step out in faith? Because if we keep choosing not to step out of our boats, what happens to us and our relationship with God? Sometimes it's hard to see the blessings in the storm, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to imagine the Lord bringing good out of what we're going through. I don't know the nature of the storm that you're facing, but I know the one who will walk on the waves. I know that as you bring your need to him, he will hear you and he will help you. Amen.